super fun and all about artisan cheese and more to melt your peaceful heart and toast your peaceful life. Coming to you from the Appalachian Mountains of southwestern Virginia, this is the Peaceful Heart Farmcast.
Hey, this is Scott Hall from Peaceful Heart Farm, and you are listening to the Peaceful Heart Farmcast.
Everybody, Melanie Hall here. Hope you are doing very, very well. The conversation today and every day revolves around the value of tradition, traditional homestead living, traditional raw milk products, and artisan cheese. Topics discussed here are designed to create new perspectives and possibilities for how you might add the taste of tradition to your life. Today, I'm going to do a little bit of homestead musing, more of a day in the life sort of podcast. I'll make it a short one, and I hope you like it. I love sharing my life with all of you, and I want to take a minute and say welcome to all the new listeners. Welcome back to the veteran homestead-loving regulars who stop by the Farmcast for every episode. I appreciate you all so much. Hey, and I'm really excited to share with you what's going on at the farm this week. First of all, we got a late start this morning. I was Miss Chatty Patty before morning prayers, so we started an hour late. That's 7:15 instead of 6:15. And it's now just about 10 a.m. And so I've got a couple of hours of work in. I've fed and watered the chickens. I emptied the dishwasher, sorted and started the laundry. And I'm on my second load. I cut down an entire 3-by-8-foot bed of Swiss chard and disposed of it. More on that later. I cooked about 3 pounds of Swiss chard. Some we will eat and some will be frozen. I froze 2 gallons of blackberries and 3 gallons of blueberries. And I set up 1.5 gallons of milk to make yogurt. I make it 1.5 gallons at a time. 6 quarts. I also need to set up for waxing last week's cheese. I haven't done that yet. That won't take long. Scott is currently pouring the milk into the cheese vat so I can make Pinnacle. That is our aged Alpine-style cheese, sort of like Gruyere. Yes, today is a cheese make day, so I'll have to get back to you later for the rest of the podcast. Love ya. Bye for now. Okay, I'm back. Let's see. Just a short update. I've got the culture in the cheese milk, and I have a few minutes before the next step. I have to bring the temperature of the milk up to 90 degrees for the cheese that I'm making today. And the way that I do that is to put hot water in the metal jacket cheese vat. It's sort of like a double boiler, except it is completely closed. So there's this jacket of hot water that goes all the way around this giant 100-gallon cheese vat. And it's not completely closed. There are a couple of openings at the top that let the displaced air out as you put the water in and it fills that jacket up. Then the air has to go somewhere, and so it comes out these holes. And I have to be quite focused when I'm doing this part because I tend to check on the milk and then go do something else, like this podcast. And then I check the milk again. And if I'm also filling the water in the jacket, a disaster can sometimes happen because those two holes at the top, one of them's open, the other one's closed. But anyway, it's already happened once this cheese making season. I think it happened twice last season. But if I forget that the water is running, it will completely fill the jacket and then overflow through the opening at the top onto the floor. And what a mess that makes. I think once I forgot it, and it was overflowing for like 5 minutes, just pouring water onto the floor. There was water everywhere. Now, if I was in the actual cheese make room that we're building, this would not be a big deal. It would simply go down the drain in the floor. But at the moment, we have this temporary setup in our storage room, and there's a drain in the floor, but the floor is tile and like linoleum kind of tile and not meant for lots of water to be on it. Anyway, no such disaster happened today. All right, more homestead musings. I'm going to get a few animal updates in before I need to go and tend that cheese again. So with the cows, we're in the midst of the AI process, and it is not going well. You know, one thing and another. I say this often, life on the homestead is never dull. There's always something going on that you did not plan. We plan for pregnancies at a particular time, but God has the final say. We had one, possibly two, heifers that appear to have taken on the first try. That's one or two out of eight that we AI'd, and it was expensive. We have to start over with the other six, and then add to that an inconvenient medical condition, and we are way behind on getting these cows bred. And we are praying for the health of our vet. She got the COVID and is still under the weather. But once she's back on her feet, we will preg check the two girls we think took and give the other six another chance. Actually, there are seven because Cookie is now far enough past her delivery to begin the AI process as well. If we don't have success this time, I'm not sure what we will do. It is extremely expensive to do AI with the vet over and over and over. So expensive that we are reconsidering keeping a bull. Now, that is also a huge expense because you got this bull that's eating and eating and eating while only being useful for a couple of months out of a year. It's a dilemma. However, at this point, the AI is going to cost more than feeding that bull through the winter with hay. And we thought the AI would be a good deal when we wouldn't have to feed the bull through the winter with hay. And bulls get big and they eat a lot. So will it be that way every year? Who knows? We do the best we can and we make new choices. And ideally, Scott would be able to do our AI. We could save a lot of money with that. But that is a long and involved learning curve. And I'll keep you posted on that topic. But you know, he's building that creamery right now. So perhaps a future project. Now, as far as the quail and the chickens, we are out of the quail business. The last of the quail were processed last week, and I have quite a supply of eggs saved up. And so hopefully the new chicken pullets will start laying about the same time that I run out of quail eggs for Scott. The chickens are doing fantastic. I couldn't be more happy there. We have at least six American white breast hens and eight roosters to choose from to fill out the breeding stock. I needed six hens. I got six hens. So I'll pick two of those roosters and the rest of them will get processed for meat. And then there are a total of nine black copper Morans out there. The distribution there is nearly perfect. There are six hens and three roosters. I'll be keeping two each of the roosters and the rest will get processed for eating. So I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to decide which one of those black copper Moran roosters that I'm going to let go of. The white breasts, I think I've pretty much picked out the two that I want to keep, but we'll see. They keep growing and changing, so we want to pick the best. Now, a few thoughts on the garden. I mentioned that I took out an entire bed of Swiss chard. We had a dry spell throughout June, so much so that we bought extra hay to get the cows through this winter because the grass was just going down so bad. Well, now it is raining every day. The weather is always so weird. Anyway, the Swiss chard got a fungus, you know, all the dampness, and I planted them close together. So it's some kind of unpronounceable leaf spot. Just the red variety got it. The giant white looks fine at the moment. So I cut down every plant in the bed of red. And we shall see if it grows back and if I eradicated the fungus. I think a lot of it will grow back. It might take it a little while, but just hopefully the fungus will be gone. If not, I guess I'm stuck with a giant white chard and that'll be all I have this season. Everything else looks really, really good. This is the fifth year of using this particular raised bed system. And the first year we started with cut up trees in the bottom. These are 3 by 8 foot cinder block beds. And they're three blocks high. So we started in the bottom. There was cut up trees that we used for when we cleared the space for where the creamery was going to go. We cut down a lot of trees. So we cut those up into pieces and put those in the bottom of the raised beds. And then we just picked up some fill dirt from around the homestead, just dirt, nothing really special about it. And then we put on a thick top layer of organic composted soil that we actually purchased. And then over the next 4 years, Scott has added our own composted soil to those beds. Every single year, he puts on 2 or 3 inches on top. This year, it has really paid off. The eggplants, the plants are huge, as are the squash bushes. The peppers took a little bit of time to catch on, but they are going great guns right now. And because I planted everything so late, I'm not sure whether I'm growing too much plant and no fruit, or if I just need to wait for the blooms. I mean, there's so much plant everywhere. Big, huge, beautiful plants. They are gorgeous. Anyway, this morning the squash was covered in blooms, yay, and bees. And I'm still not sure about that eggplant. It has some blooms on it, but it may be all plant and no fruit. My cilantro survived the dry heat of June. So far, so good there. The tomatoes are going to need more support in the next couple of days. They are growing like crazy, and I have small tomatoes and lots of healthy plants. The lima beans are blooming. There are 3 beds of winter squash. The butternut I grew from plant starts, so they're already producing squash. I've got a butternut squash out there that I'm going to say is probably 8 inches long at this point. And so those plants are bigger than the other ones. The squash on them are still too small to pick, but there are a lot of them, and the plants are doing well. Now, the other 2 beds are a variety of other winter squash that I started from seed. I've got acorn squash, delicata, spaghetti squash. There might be another one in there. But those all went from seed, and it was like the middle of June before I planted them. So they are just starting to go crazy, and the plants look really great, and they're fending off the squash bugs pretty good. And I keep squishing the squash bugs, and I look for a great crop there. The summer squash looks like all plant, and they are huge, but as I said, they are now covered with blooms, as are the cucumbers. The cucumbers is the best cucumbers I've ever grown. Everything is just the best I've ever grown. It's just so amazing out there. Well, the peppers aren't the best I've ever grown, but they're getting there. And it's a little weird that it's July and I'm just now getting the first squash and cucumbers out of the garden. I really didn't get my garden planted until June. As I said, the last of the squash went in mid-June. Everything else kind of around the first of June, I got a lot of my plants that I was growing inside. I got those into the ground. And normally it would have been a month earlier, but I was holding on to my plants to sell them at the farmer's market. And then whatever's left over, I put in my garden. So they're, Independence and Galax are both a different USDA planting zone. So they plant quite a bit later. So I needed to have the plants started later for them. The elevation there is, I don't know, 2,500 to 3,000 feet maybe. We're between 1,200 and 1,400 feet on our property here. So there's a big difference in the temperature with that kind of height. So we're in 7A up on the mountain. They're like 6B. So there's a good 2 to 3 weeks difference in when they would plant things. All right, I got to go off and tend cheese again. And now I'm back. And that's the last time I will tell you when I leave and return. When I'm making cheese, there are often time spans of 5, 10, or 15 minutes, or even 30 minutes to an hour, where I need to leave the process to continue. And then whatever the cheese is doing, and then I'll return later to go to the next step. So while I'm waiting on the rennet to set up or whatever I'm waiting on, I go do something else. And then I'll go back to the cheese process. And the cheese make process today is going exceptionally well. I probably shouldn't say that, as superstition would indicate that I just jinxed myself. Well, I don't believe in superstition, do I? So there you go. I expect it will continue to go well. We're getting closer and closer to completing the creamery project. Scott is sometimes down in the dumps a little bit that he's not getting more done. And there's always another something that needs to be done instead of working on the creamery. And my advice to him and to you is to keep your attention focused on what is in front of you. So he started doing that, and he is in a much better frame of mind. You do what needs to be done right now, and the rest of it will take care of itself. No sense ruminating over what didn't happen. Let's be grateful for what did happen. Let's be grateful for what we've gotten done today in this moment. Let's be grateful for the people that touched our lives this week. We thought it would be, the creamery would be complete in late summer, early fall, then spring happened. And I think I talked about this in the previous podcast. So there's a lot that goes on in the spring. And even though the cows would need to be dried up and we wouldn't have milk to make cheese, we thought we could make it by the end of the year after all the spring stuff pushed everything forward. And then summer happened. First spring happened, then summer happened. And at the moment, I'm feeling pretty confident that it will be done by the time the cows give birth in the spring. So we went from late summer, early fall, and then all the spring stuff we had to do. And then we moved that to the end of the year. And then now all the summer stuff has come around. So at the present time, we're looking at the spring of 2023. We can have a USDA inspected cheese facility just about the time we have milk to make the cheese. And that sounds like a plan, right? We shall see. Update on the cheese. It did go well. The cheese is in the press for the final time. I'll check it in the morning and move it to the brine tank for salting. And then at least 5 months until it is mature. 7 months is better, and a year is the best for that particular cheese. Yum, yum. That's really about all I have to say for today, and I just wanted to check in with you all and let you know the status of our homestead and give you yet another window into the lifestyle. As always, we love it and wouldn't have it any other way. There are always more tasks to be accomplished than there are hours in a day. It gives us purpose and motivation. Sometimes it can seem overwhelming, but at those times, I just let some of those tasks slip a notch or two down the list. There are a few things that have to be done on a specific time schedule, on a specific day, at a specific time, but many more do not. And I choose what I do on any given day. I choose how much I will do on any given day. Most of the time, I choose to do an unbelievable amount in one day. Or at least it seems so to me. It seems like a lot. And actually, I only think that in contrast to the other days when I laze around and get very little accomplished. Maybe I'm not doing a lot. Some days I just don't do anything. But anyway, there are fewer of the days where I just laze around. I get bored pretty easily, and then I get right back to it. And I want to keep active. That's why we live this lifestyle. How about you? Do you get bored easily? And are you dreaming of the day when you get to call your own shots? Are you working toward that goal? If you are, here's a little encouragement. It may seem like you will never get there. Don't lose heart. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. At first, we planned 5 or 10 years into the future. Many times it seemed like we would never get there. I mean, 10 years, like, wow, 10 years. But here we are. We worked 7 years longer than our original plan. I mean, worked for someone else. And then we blew through our savings that was supposed to last until the creamery was built. Well, the creamery is in its 5th year, and it's still not done. And we came up with other ways to make ends meet. We started our dream in 2003, and that was 19 years ago. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. We are still going, trying to get this creamery built in between then and now. We've changed our plans more times than I want to count. It was in 2012, 10 years ago, that we decided to be artisan cheesemakers. It has taken a lot more steps, time, money, effort, and so on than we ever imagined, but we never stopped imagining. Scott's currently getting that electrical work done on the creamery. I help him with the ceiling from time to time as he moves from one room to the next. Electrical, plumbing, floors, we are nearly there. After 5 years, we are nearly there. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hop over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, whatever podcasting service you use. Subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating and a review. It really does help. If you like this content and want to help us out, the absolute best way you can do that is to share it on all of your social media platforms. Share it with any friends or family who might be interested in this type of content. Let them know about the Peaceful Heart Farmcast. And come on over to our locals community. Subscribe at peacefulheartfarm.locals.com. peacefulheartfarm.locals.com. We'd love to have your support and input in the community. Thank you so much for stopping by our homestead. And until next time, may God fill your life with grace and peace.